Welcome in, Lineup Logic fans, to week 10 of the Fantasy Fade Route. We are just moving right along. Season is almost over when you think about it. We're down a man this week. Jason, a.k.a. J. Moschel, is under the weather. But, undeterred, it's your guy, Spartanzilla, Quaffo Daqua back, along with the one, the only, Roto underscore one, Mike Alexander. How are you today, Mike?
Doing good, Quaffo. What's going on?
Well, as I was talking pre-show, I was doing better until I watched my Spartan basketball guys take it on the chin by the number one team in the country. So it's early in the season, but I see the sites are offering college basketball as well. So, you know, people will be grinding that as well. So,
yeah, there's some NCAA football or basketball. I have a hard time dipping my toe in those DFS waters because it's not my sharpest tool. So
exactly, and you could lose a lot quick if you start messing around with some of that stuff. But it's interesting nonetheless, and I'm sure there'll be conversation. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, one thing to point out on that along those lines is I've been playing some NBA. You know, I'm not a basketball tout, we'll put it that way.
Yeah, sure.
I know the ball's round and the net's round. But I've been playing the DraftKings tiers, and I've put this out there for football before too. Like, sure. If you feel like you're getting chewed up in competition, if you're just not finding the pay downs, things like that, the tiers is a really nice platform to jump on. And you know, there's only 6 to 8 selections in each tier, and you know, you've got protections. So you don't have to worry. Can I figure out who this week's, you know, free square is? And if you don't have that guy, you're basically dead in the water.
That's a great point. It's a great point. Cause yeah. I think, we always talk about this being a grind and varying your gameplay and bankroll management. So I'm totally with you. I've not tried that tiers. That may be something for this week that I might get into for at least the NFL and some of the other sports, but right. Yeah, that's great that you're doing that for the NBA. And for those the uninitiated, we do have some NBA pods that are rolling out as well, so check those out in the Lineup Logic suite of podcasts we provide you guys. So
right. Yeah, so you know, like I've just been plugging in Jeremy's tools and ranking the NBA tiers and doing all right. And I play the NFL tiers every week. And, you know, the upside's not the same as a GPP. There's just not as many entries. There's not, the giant prize pool. But there's still money in play there. And you know, if you're turning a positive profit, that's always a good feeling in DFS.
Exactly. Totally is. So for those that don't know, the group here, Mike, myself, the whole gang, Jeremy, are all part of a great community at Lineup Logic. Patreon.com/LineupLogic. $10 a month gets you access to all the tools we have to offer. We just talked about NBA there for 5 minutes on the NFL podcast, but that's cool because NBA is off the charts right now. It's great. There's NFL tools. There's MMA tools. When we have baseball going, there's baseball tools. You name NHL, there's charts. English Premier League, there's stuff. You name it, there's something to be offered there. For only $10 a month, you get in, get access to the Slack chat. That's where all the activity happens. The two of us are on there quite a bit. Jason, Jeremy, the whole gang is on there, and it's a great affordable way to get some insight and information you might not otherwise have. So I implore you, $10 a month, go ahead, patreon.com/lineuplogic. That's the best $10 you're going to spend, I'll tell you that right now. So with that, shall we dive into the analysis for this week, Mike?
Let's do it.
All right. Real quick, we'll look back like we like to do. Just real quick, give me one takeaway from the week that was in the NFL.
The week that was, I think it's got to be, you know, there's no stopping Pat Mahomes. I know he's my takeaway like every other week, but even in a game that they really didn't have to do very much to win, you know, he's still just like a 300 plus and 3 TDs, whatever.
It's like, he's putting up numbers that are just, they're eye-popping, and he's making it look so easy, you forget how hard it really is to do what this kid is doing. And he's in that top three, look at the MVP race right now. It's probably him, Gurley, maybe Breeze coming off his performance last week as well. I mean, so it's starting to kind of emerge. I think for me, the biggest takeaway from week nine is you're starting to see the cream rise to the crop, right? That Saints-Rams game was a really good one. You'll probably see that again in late January, the way things are going. The Patriots look really good. Josh Gordon looks like he's ready to just be fully engaged, even though they were down Gronk. I mean, you're starting to see the separation, which this is about what you see most seasons around this week 10, week 11 timeframe. You start to really see those teams kind of make a push. So be mindful of that when you're setting up lineups. And some teams, you know, like a Buffalo, boy, oh boy, they're throwing in a towel at this point. So, but I think the biggest takeaway for me is you're starting to see the emergence of, I'd say, like the power four, you know, LA, New Orleans, KC, New England, and then a couple people, maybe even throw the Chargers and make it a power five. And you're starting to see kind of the rest of the teams fall by, you know, so. All right, with that, let's run down these games. Some teams still on bye. We'll go through. We'll do our usual format of fade, lock, and sleeper. We'll start this week's analysis looking at the Thursday night affair. The Carolina Panthers, who are 6-2 and looking pretty good, go into the Steel City to play the Steelers. The over-under I have is 51.5. Those Steelers, without Le'Veon Bell still, 4-point favorites. Mike, who are you fading out of this matchup?
Not a ton to fade here. Fairly favorable matchup, even for a Thursday game. If I have to fade someone, it would probably be the Pittsburgh tight ends. You know, they've been enigmatic all season. Not a position I'm going to chase here on a Thursday night.
All right. For me, I think if I'm locking up a player in this matchup, I had two, but I'm gonna just give you one, and that's James Conner. I don't know if he's hearing the Le'Veon footsteps. I'm not sure what's going on. Played him a lot last week, and he did not disappoint. He's really showing why they haven't been in a rush to get anything done with Bell or try to reach out to him, and he'll just kind of play the string. And I think Pittsburgh actually kind of has the advantage over my Spartan guy right now in terms of what they do from that perspective. But Connor is lock and load on a site like DK, which rewards PPR more. I mean, he's all systems go. So I like him in the MVP spot in the showdown slate on Thursday. What about a sleeper for you in this matchup?
Sleeper's a tough one, too, because these are fairly concentrated offenses. You know, Cam is kind of the meal ticket in Carolina, and Ben, Connor, and AB with Juju are, you know, the Steelers' bread and butter.
Right.
Yeah, I guess Greg Olsen, I don't know if you'd consider him a sleeper or not, but he's come back, and the foot, I guess, is not bothering him. He's scoring touchdowns.
That catch he had on Sunday was amazing. The tip to himself with a, you know, 100 mile an hour fastball coming in there was a great catch.
Yeah, so that's, you know, the Steelers typically aren't a team that gives up too much to the tight ends, but Greg Olsen is a major target in the Carolina hierarchy.
For me, real quick, just thinking about sleepers here. I know you mentioned them as a fade, the Pittsburgh tight ends, but what about a guy like Vance McDonald on the showdown slate? You know, if you want to get cute with it, because he can't really play the defenses, I don't think. If you're building a showdown lineup,
yeah.
So maybe Vance McDonald, you know, as a potential sleeper if you're looking for someone off the board. But you mentioned these two offenses are very concentrated. We're 10 weeks in. We kind of know what we're getting on both sides of the ball, so should be a good game to watch actually.
Yep.
All right, we'll move on to the Sunday games. Washington, coming off a bad performance against Atlanta, is going down to Florida to take on the Bucks. Again, I've got a 51.5 over-under in this matchup. The Bucks, oddly enough, 3-point favorites. Who are you fading in this matchup, Mike, given just kind of, I think, what's going to be a weird matchup down in Florida?
Yeah, Washington is in trouble right now. Their offensive line has crumbled. Trent Williams, their great left tackle. He's out multiple weeks. They've lost both of their guards. You know, both of those guys.
Sheriff, right? Sheriff is one of the guards, I think.
And then Lavao, I think.
Yeah.
A Polynesian name. I forget how to say it, but they're both out. That's huge because that was the strength of their offense, was their offensive line. That's a big reason AP has had such a good season to date. I've got a few season long shares of AP, and I'm in panic mode. I'm thinking about shopping them. If I can get, you know, 90 cents on the dollar, I would take it. Problem is, I don't know if anybody's buying on AP.
Well, now, Mike, let me just remind you, it is November the 6th, 2018, not 2011.
Yep.
So putting your eggs in that AP basket, right? We knew at some point, and it's really not his fault, to your point. It's really that O-line at this point. But
right. Yeah, the O-line.
He's dangerous.
The game script got, you know, he got scripted out really quickly. I mean, he can catch the ball a little bit, but if they're throwing, he's on the sideline more than you're comfortable with.
Right.
So, you know, it's a tough call here because the Bucks score a ton, but usually when they've already given up a ton of points. So, you know, that's like the reverse of that negative game script. That's a positive game script for AP. But Washington doesn't, you know, they don't have any aggression on their side either. So, like, can they take advantage of the Tampa secondary that's atrocious? You know, as far as a fade goes, though, I would probably stay away from the Washington receivers. I know Doxson finally caught a touchdown. Maurice Harris did a little bit. It's just too unpredictable. I don't really want any Washington wide receivers, even in this really plus matchup. You just don't know who's going to be featured.
Right. For me, if I'm locking up someone in this game, man, I really hate doing this, and I feel so sleazy doing this. But the man with the chain from the press conference, a lot of people went as him for Halloween. Let me sprinkle in a little Fitzmagic. I'm going to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick as my lock in this game. I mean, like you said, they usually have to come from behind, and he racks up all this production. But that being said, I don't even know. You know, Washington is just really not a good football team. They're just in a really bad division. So give me Fitzmagic.
Especially,
you know,
at home. I like that they're at home here.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And you know what's funny? Like, you know, people kind of don't have much respect for Fitzmagic because he's who he is. But I put it out. I do a little prop article every week for Razzball, and I put one of the props out there was who's going to score more fantasy points, Cam Newton or Ryan Fitzpatrick. It was Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I think probably about 85% of people have taken Cam. You know, it's just they're going to get into a bad game script, and he's going to chuck the ball, and that play calling is aggressive. So I really like the Fitzpatrick call.
I mean, Dirk is coaching for his job at this point. So, so Fitzpatrick's my lock. My sleeper in this matchup is Adam Humphries. All of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, the guy's just catching everything thrown his way. You know, decent target share. His price on FanDuel, very affordable, $5,700. You can do a lot worse than him in this game, and we're trying to stay away from the Washington offense. So give me Adam Humphries. Why not with Tampa Bay? So, all right, let's move on to a game that's going to be a lot more fun. That's New Orleans coming off that really nice win at home against the previous undefeated Rams. They're going to go to Cincinnati and take on the Bengals. The over-under is 54. Those Saints are 4.5-point favorites on my check. Mike, find a fade if you can from this what should be offensive matchup.
You know, my first instinct here is Joe Mixon.
For whatever reason, the
Saints just they don't get run on very much. Now, Mixon could still get it done in the passing game. It'll be curious to see if Gio Bernard is ready to come back. He's been working his way back from a knee. You know, that could dig into Mixon's passing work a little bit. You know, would that be my official fade? I'm going to say yes, because you're not fading any Saints. There's no Saints name you want to fade. You know what? Hold on. I'm going to correct myself.
Oh, boy.
There is a Saint I would fade. That's Tre'Quan Smith. He caught a touchdown last week. being that they're on the road and that the total's 54, not huge.
But
Tre'Quan
decent.
Smith
But
is I
decent.
think he's a nice player, but he's only someone I'm interested in at home in a high total game.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, 54 is a decent total. It's
It's
not
very
60,
decent, but so if
but
the
yeah.
Ted Ginn rule is the Saints at home in a 58 plus point game, Ted
Right.
Ginn catches a touchdown, it's a guarantee you take it to the bank.
Right.
They're on the road, it's 54. Maybe Tre'Quan Smith catches a touchdown, but
Right. All right, we can live with that. We'll put you on the books with Traquan. For me, the lock is, despite the timeshare, Alvin Kamara. The production is ridiculous. The kid is super talented. Even with Ingram there, and this may actually set up for an Ingram game, depending on game script. But I still like Alvin Kamara. His floor is, well, on a site like DraftKings, 15 points. I mean, there's a floor. I mean, he's 8,700, so a little price prohibitive, but he's obviously not in the girly category in terms of pricing just yet. You know what you're getting with Alvin, so lock him in for me. I had a kind of a 1B lock too, and that is your guy Joe Mixon, because I think his floor is pretty secure too, even against kind of the revamped Saints defense a little bit. So I like him a lot as a 1B matchup in this matchup here. Sleeper in this matchup, Mike. Where are you going here?
I think it'd actually be Mark Ingram.
Yeah, that's what I had as mine too. Yep.
The Saints are 5-point favorites on the road. The Bengals, if you look at their record, you think they're not that bad of a team. They're atrocious. They're poorly coached. They're in the stuck in the 90s. Maybe that's just because that's since Marvin Lewis has been coaching since then.
I think I was in high school when I wrote.
And they're going to be down AJ Green. The Saints defense has improved. It's not what it was last year, but it's getting better.
You know his price on DraftKings right now, Ingram?
What's
It's
that?
4,500.
Yeah,
That's almost stealing. That's almost stealing with him in this matchup. So.
If they can get up a touchdown or two early, 10 points or so early, it's their preferred route. They want to give the ball to Ingram and just grind and let their defense try to keep them, in the lead. So, I could see that happening easily against a subpar Bengals team.
Exactly. So, all right, let's move on to a matchup that I don't think is going to be very exciting. It's the Patriots coming off another win against those Packers, going to Tennessee to take on the suddenly resurgent Titans after their victory over the Cowboys. The over-under is 46.5. New England, almost a touchdown favorite, 6.5 points. Who are you fading in this matchup, Mike?
Yeah, interesting. Coming off of that victory over the Packers, like virtually no one gave the Packers a chance to win that game. And I think that says a lot about where both teams are and where they're heading this season. The Patriots seemed like a month ago we thought they were in trouble. Now they're 7-2, and the Packers, everyone thought, Aaron Rodgers, as long as he's not out, they always have a shot to win it. It doesn't feel like that anymore. They've really fallen off. So this one, you got the Patriots West as the Tennessee Titans. They've got players and staff and all kinds of stuff. So really interesting showdown between some proteges and things like that. Belichick tends to own his proteges, so I've got a little more faith in the Pats here. As far as a fade goes, it's
I
hard to
know
fade.
it. Oh, go ahead.
It's hard to fade anyone on the Titan side, like, because there's not really that many people you would consider as week to week, every week fantasy assets that you really want to be involved in.
I got one for you.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
The quarterback, the trigger man, Marcus Mariota. Someone might want to play him on the site, like
Yeah.
FanDuel or excuse me, DraftKings, where he's 4,700.
And he's where I was leaning, coming off a good
Yeah.
performance.
Yeah.
The
Yeah.
only
Don't chase
thing
it.
about that is he can get it done with his legs so easily that that's a little risky as a fade, but that's probably the route to go here.
I mean, his price is what a is kind of like the sucker price, that 4,700. You're like, ooh, I can get a low-priced quarterback here, but there's no reason to even mess with it on a site like DraftKings to me anyway. For me, in this matchup, I'm locking up Josh Gordon. He's starting to click. The talent's starting to show. He's falling in the Patriot way. You want to watch throughout the week, not only his health, because I think he's a little banged up, but the health of obviously Gronk and Sony Michel, because that will dictate a little bit how this game script goes. But, all systems go with New England. It's almost not fair with Josh Gordon on that offense now. So lock button on Josh Gordon. He's only 6K on DK. So give me Josh Gordon and set it and forget it, so to speak, with that. Sleeper for you here, Mike, in this matchup.
I'm going to put Corey Davis out there. It's hard to say he's a huge sleeper given his draft stock preseason and then the target share that he gets. But that's why I like him as a sleeper. He hasn't caught a touchdown in a while. Got 10 targets against the Cowboys. Caught 6 of them for 56 yards. Not a huge performance, but he's the man in that passing tree.
He's really affordable too. He's 5,800 on FanDuel, and he's like 4,500 on DK. So,
right, and the Pats, their corners are playing pretty well at the moment, but I don't think that they're elite level corners. McCourty I like a little better. He's probably on the other side of Davis, but Gilmore versus Davis, that'll be an interesting showdown.
Yeah, Gilmore, I don't think he's underrated anymore, right? I think he's probably rated appropriately. He does a good job most weeks. So
He has his spots where he struggles,
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, let's move on. Let's move on to a game featuring two somewhat interesting teams. The Falcons go on the road to Cleveland to take on the Browns. The over-under in this one is 50.5. Atlanta's a 4-point favorite. Mike, there's probably some candidates here for a fade. Hit us with one of them.
Yeah, Matt Ryan's probably the most obvious one on the road. He's not quite as good.
It's like a Ben Roethlisberger thing, right? Is it kind of that same weird
road? Yeah, a big part of it's the dome. It's the same kind of thing as like Breeze. Like, he goes on the road and he's not, well, typically he's not atrocious. But like Breeze, home road, he just goes from being, Superman to being just a regular quarterback. Ryan goes from being like a plus quarterback to a slightly below average quarterback.
Right.
He's an easy fade, I think.
And Cleveland's defense, we've seen all year, right? Is a representative defense.
I don't have much, confidence in that defense, but they've got enough talent to be okay. And it'll be interesting to see how the Falcons decide to attack, because I think you could run or throw on the Browns if you commit to it, and the Falcons could do both. We saw that last week. Tevin Coleman finally had himself a day.
Yeah, with the two touchdowns for sure. Yeah, so for me, my lock is again all systems go with Julio Jones. His price is high on DraftKings, 8,300. But he finally broke the seal, so to speak, and got in the end zone last week on a real nice route, the screen route, and he breaks some tackles and goes in on the Redskins there. So Julio, you can't go wrong with him. Again, the floor is so high because of his target share, his volume, the yards. He now got in the end zone. So give me Julio, even over a guy like Tevin Coleman coming off the big performance, and off a guy like some of the other Atlanta receivers, Ridley or Sanu. So all day Julio for me in this matchup. For a sleeper in this matchup, we know the story with running backs against Atlanta, definitely pass catching backs.
Yep.
One might think I would go Duke Johnson because he's the pass catcher, but I'm actually going to go Nick Chubb. I like his role. I like what he's carved out. I think Atlanta, as we mentioned and we've seen, can be had. Chubb is definitely the future for the Browns, and so he's going to be my sleeper pick in this matchup on Sunday.
Yeah, I think you can go either way, but Chubb's the more reliable of the two. I mean, I know Duke got 9 targets this week, which was great, but I don't think you can project hardly any running back to get 9 targets in a single week. It's a spike thing. So, you know, if he falls down to 5 targets, doesn't score a touchdown, you know, he still only had 1 carry. There's just not enough to depend on with Duke. And Chubb can catch the ball a little bit, too.
Exactly. All right. I'm going to move on. I'm going to move to middle part of the country. Arizona going to Kansas City to take on one of the league's best teams in the Kansas City Chiefs. The over-under is 50. This line is something fierce. I don't know if you're a betting man, like I might take Arizona in this because Kansas City is a ridiculous 17-point favorite against Arizona. That seems crazy.
I lean Arizona, and here's why.
Yeah,
both of these teams are both pace challenged. The Cardinals are, just because they're terrible, they're like the lowest paced offense in the league. And the Chiefs are a very deliberate offense. Their efficiency is through the roof, but they don't run a lot of plays. They don't have to. They never have. Andy Reid's offenses never have. They're not a high paced offense. They're about efficiency. So, you know, with those two things, the Chiefs, you know, they get up a little bit and then they can just take their foot off the gas and they're not going to run it up Patriot style. And their defense can give up a little bit on the other side too. So I think the Cardinals are not the worst bet here.
Okay. Against that backdrop, who are you fading out of this, this matchup?
Interesting, you know, spot to try and pick a fade because the Chiefs defense can really give it up at any level. And then on their own side, their offense is so powerful, it's really hard to pick a fade.
What about the guy that I've been talking about so much on the pod, but I don't really like the matchup here, and that's David Johnson. I think I might fade him in this one. You know, he's sitting at 6,800. There's better price points. We just talked about Nick Chubb in the other game. Arizona is terrible. Like, they're really bad. I thought they would figure some things out. It's just not happening for him. So that'd be my fade.
He's a touchdown or bust kind of guy.
Yeah.
At this point, which is really sad to say about one of my favorite NFL players. Somebody
super
I thought
talented,
was you know, the 1B to Gurley's 1A coming into the season.
Right, super talented. So
And then another easy fade would be Sammy Watkins. He's going to see Patrick Peterson in coverage, and there's just no need to force him the ball.
Nope, he's option number 4 maybe on that team. So, for me, I'm locking up Kareem Hunt. The production is there. They have figured out how to use him through the middle part of the season. You know, his price is a little prohibitive on DK at 8,500, but production's all day long with Kareem Hunt. He's one of the best backs in the league. I think it's really been borne out over the last, you know, year and some change now, year and a half. So
Really catching the ball a lot right now.
Who do you have as a sleeper in this one?
As far as the sleeper goes, I think, you know, somebody on the Arizona side is going to have to do something. You know, like there's got to be production from somewhere. I think that guy's probably Larry Fitzgerald. I know Christian Kirk's got a little rapport with Josh Rosen, but Fitz, you know, should be getting a little bit healthier here coming off of the rest. And he's still kind of the guy that is the go-to receiver on that team.
All right, yep. I kind of looked that same way sleeper. I was thinking maybe not Fitz but Kirk, but you can go either way as a off the radar play in a matchup that's not gonna be fun.
I just don't love Kirk's odds of scoring a touchdown in any given week. He's just, you know, he's got to sneak one past the defense. It's got to be a deep ball.
Exactly. Yeah, but KC, as you mentioned earlier, is susceptible to giving plays up. So.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to a game. Let's see if we can do this in 90 seconds. Buffalo at the Jets. Yeah, 36.5. The Jets are 7.5 point favorites.
Fade everybody.
Yikes. Fade everybody.
Lock no one.
Pretty much no one. Guys, don't play this game. Like, we just can't in good faith even just walk. There's no reason to
Yeah, honestly,
go.
no Bills are in play on
No
the
Bills are in
Jets
play.
side.
Crowell, I don't know. Locke, I don't
I
know.
don't hate Crowell. I think you know Crowell. He's the only thing that scares me on Crowell is McGuire. Really kind of ate into the work last week. I don't know if that's kind of a game script thing. Not like they were down big, but
Oh, no. Yeah, so, sleeper Robbie Anderson. I don't know. Just don't play people from this game, guys. I mean, don't try to get cute with it. There's so many other options. Don't just move about your business. Don't do that. Let's move on to the next game. I can't spend time with that one. Detroit, my Lions, who seem to have now given up on the season, going to Chicago to play the first place Bears. The over-under is 45. The Bears are 6.5 point favorites. Mike, I think I'm probably going to be aligned with you if you've got a fade on this one. I want to see where you're at, but I think I'm probably aligned with you.
Matt Stafford.
Hey, ding, 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 ding. We have done the show together a lot. Yeah, Stafford just hasn't had the season that I thought he
No,
would.
me
So,
either.
and this is not shaping up to be a good matchup to go on the road, maybe inclement weather in Chicago. Like, you've already, Golden Tate is now with your guys. We didn't even get a chance to talk about that. Yikes. This is not a good matchup for Matty Stafford, so.
Yeah, and Khalil Mack could be full strength. So, definitely a tough spot.
Yeah. For me, I'm locking up Chicago D. I know a lot of times D is maybe the last thing you put on your roster. As we just talked about with Stafford, we talked about the issues with the Lions. Chicago's set for, you saw what they did to Buffalo. And again, Detroit is not Buffalo's offense, obviously, but Chicago's gonna get sacks. They're gonna sack. I mean, Minnesota just sacked him 10 times on Sunday. So what is Chicago going to do to him against that offensive line? So I mean, they
And
gotta probably
Stafford's
minimum.
willing to, he's willing to try and wait for the play to develop, and he's not afraid to give up a sack or
Right.
throw a
It's
pick.
exactly. So,
And you brought up Golden Tate. I don't think it can be understated how much he made that offense go. His work underneath
it
as a safety
defies
blanket. So.
logic that you would give up a player, and I know they're trying to do the Patriots thing to go a year early rather than a year later, but what in the world are you doing giving up the engine to your offense? Like, it doesn't. And then they released Ameer Abdullah today, which
But
they should have just done that earlier in the season.
the
Like, I don't
the
understand.
problem with trading Tate was that they're not getting a third round pick. They're moving a third
No.
round pick up a year. They would have gotten a third round compensatory pick in 2020, and
Ugh.
instead they're getting it in 2019.
Right.
Which, time value of draft picks, sure, it's a little more valuable this year. It's a slightly higher pick, but,
It's stupid. Let's just call it what it is.
Now,
I have
they did
watched this
sign
for a
Bruce
while.
Ellington. If he can come back healthy, he could, he, I mean, he's not Golden Tate, but he could help that offense a little bit.
You just said it. He's not Golden Tate. Golden Tate is a quality NFL
He's
receiver,
the
and you get rid of
premier
him.
slot receiver in the game
Yeah,
right now.
exactly. So, for me, I think a sleeper in this matchup, Jordan Howard, and he's probably not much of a sleeper anymore. He's getting the workload wrested away back from Tariq Cohen, so. I like him a lot in this game, even though he got Snacks Harrison on the defensive line for the Bears.
Lions
I think
still
this is
suck
shaping.
against the run.
You said it, and I see. The thing is, I try to stay away from too much Lion stuff. It's just too hard on the soul. So,
We also shouldn't
and
trade Burton as a sleeper. We've
yeah,
seen what
yep.
can happen when he has a huge game.
I would agree with that. I'm just going back to Howard's price real quick on DraftKings. He's 4,700. I mean, you can do a lot of things if you put him in your lineup. So, I like him a lot. All right, let's move on to another matchup. The Jags going to Indy to take on the Colts. The over/under is 47. Indy 3-point favorites.
Bigger favorite than I thought, with the,
Yeah.
they're both coming off of a bye, so that kind of cancels out. But preseason, like, you never would have guessed Indy would have been favored in this game by more than a point.
Nope. Nope. So who are you fading, though, against that backdrop?
Blake Bortles would be a tempting fade, but in the dome, with their defense giving up some points this season, Bortles could, go good Bortles. I mean, he could still go bad Bortles, but if he has to do it, like I would. I don't ever fade Blake Bortles. It's the same thing as playing Blake Bortles. Like you're just lighting a firecracker and sticking it in a mailbox. Like you don't know what's gonna happen.
That's funny. That's funny.
As far as a fade, my official fade, I think Jacksonville is still a solid defense. I think Marlon Mack is way over his head right now. I wouldn't chase Marlon Mack against this matchup.
Ooh, well, we will differ a little bit because he is my lock in this matchup, right? I mean, I look at the rest of the offense. You could say T.Y. Hilton, but, you know, to your, what you just said with Jacksonville's pass defense is still – it's not what it was last year, but you still have two of the better corners in the game. See, so Hilton will be locked up on one of them.
Where you attack Jacksonville is out of the slot, so I'd love some T.Y. Hilton this week. I think people might do the same thing you just did and fade him on reputation of the Jacksonville defense and not put together that Hilton plays a lot of the slot.
Right. I mean, he that's where his bread is buttered, and they don't have the greatest slot corner in the world in Jacksonville. So, I still like Marlon Mack. I think I'm going to lock up Marlon Mack over T.Y. And
let's
you go
let's
with
do
T.Y.
a little Mack versus Hilton side bet.
Okay.
There.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that. We'll have some. We'll have a little action on which. What are we going to go? DraftKings points or FanDuel points?
Probably FanDuel points. It's a little more fair to the running back.
All right, FanDuel points, Mack, and we'll. I've got it down. We'll talk about it next week. Mack versus T.Y. All right. Any sleepers in this matchup?
Sleepers in this one. You could take your pick of the Jacksonville wide receivers. You know who's gonna have himself a game. I'd probably lean Dede Westbrook. He's kind of the more explosive of the three.
All right. I like that. I think he's come due. So this is a good matchup you're gonna find really for. For Jacksonville to have any
real
sort of
quick, we didn't talk about him, but what do you think Len Fournette is going to offer? You know, it's not a great matchup, and he's coming in rusty.
Yeah, I had him as a fade. Don't chase that shiny object and try to get him back in. Even in the season-long things, I've got him in a couple season-long leagues. He's just sitting on IR, even though he's going to likely be activated in this matchup. I'm not. I got to wait and see. On that, and so there's just too many other options on the slate. We've talked about it at the running back spot. No need to chase Fournette. Let me see what he's got, and let me see what that offense can do. And they're not going to push it, right? I mean, you still got Yeldon, you got Carlos Hyde in the mix,
right?
So he was my fade in that matchup. So
yeah, three guys are going to see snaps.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on to a West Coast game. The L.A. Chargers are at the hideous, and I mean hideous, Oakland Raiders. What has happened? Fred Biletnikoff not walking through that door.
You know, I actually like the Raiders a little bit here not to win it, but it's a 10-point line for a road dog. Like, I'm sorry, a road favorite. People are, they're still jumping on it. I just think, you know, the Raiders, after that really bad performance, have to bounce back somehow here a little bit.
Okay, well then, do you have a fade out of this matchup?
Fade out of this one? You know, on the Raiders side, it's really tough to pick who's going to provide any production. You know, I do like Cook here a little bit, so I wouldn't fade him. Jordy, you know, he's probably a safe person to fade at this point. He's really just the offense can't get going. Derek Carr, I mean, if they do well, he should do okay, but I guess Jordy's my fade.
Okay, that's fair enough. For me, guy's production is only second to probably Todd Gurley, and this one is for Jason since he's not on the podcast. Melvin Gordon. You know, his price has crept up to 9,000 on DraftKings, so that may be a little prohibitive, but I mean, you know his floor. And again, where depending on the type of matchup you're playing, you know, or what kind of contest you're in, I should say, cash game versus GPP. To me, Gordon's a cash game lock, and is the production, you know what you're going to get. It's just a matter of how he fits in your overall roster build. But Melvin Gordon, all day long.
You can shred the Raiders on the ground. So
For me, I think a sleeper in this one, because of what you just said, the Raiders' ineptitude on the ground is, you know, I don't mind using Austin Eckler as well. He's only 4K on DraftKings. If this game follows the Vegas protocol, I mean, there's going to be a lot of production to be had. So why not double dip and get all the Charger running game in this matchup? Do you have a sleeper in this one?
Yeah, I don't mind Eckler. He's in play most weeks with what the Chargers are doing. I would throw Tyrell Williams' name out there as well. He's kind of like the clear cut deep target for that offense. And I know Mike Williams is doing a little bit too, but they've got some specific plays designed for Tyrell, and you know you can take some shots against this Oakland defense. And real quick note on Eckler there, Tahir Whitehead, he's a outside linebacker for the Raiders.
Former Lion.
Yeah, former Lion. He's given up a ton of touchdowns this season. It continued last week. That's why George Kittle was such a good play. The Chargers at tight end, I don't think Antonio Gates is really going to give you too much. So that's why Eckler's a little bit interesting if he can get matched up on Whitehead.
Yeah, that's a very astute analysis out of you there. So I think he's a route to go for the Chargers there. Let's move on to Los Angeles. The Rams, coming off that loss against the Saints, are hosting the Seahawks. 51.5 is the over under. The Rams are also big favorites, 10-point favorites. Do you have a fade from the fade basket there, Mike?
I'd probably fade Chris Carson. I know the Seahawk running game has been a little better. The only place that the Rams are truly deficient is I think with deep passing. They're struggling with that. They do have some vulnerability in the running attack, but it hasn't been glaring this season. And the Seahawks just, you know, you don't know what you're going to get at running back any given week, and Carson's been kind of nicked up. So,
all right, for me, I'm going to lock in the man, the myth, the legend, Cooper Kupp. He's, you know, going back to last year, had the rapport with Jared Goff. You know what you get every week out of the kid. Any of the Rams receivers, right, are viable plays. But Cooper Kupp, his price is always pretty affordable on FanDuel. He's 6,500. So I like Cooper Kupp to, you know, be part of that bounce back for the Rams, you know, in this matchup. Do you have a sleeper in this Seattle Rams tilt?
I think there's a lot of potential sleepers in this one.
I
like either of the other Rams receivers, Woods or Cooks. I think the Seahawks on the road can get burned in the passing game. They're not going to get away with what they get away with at home. You know, they kind of tug and hold and be a little extra physical, and that's easy to do at home when the referees may keep the flag in the pocket a little more. So either of those guys. And then on the Seahawks side, as I mentioned, the Rams can get beat deep. They're struggling with it. And, the Seahawks passing game isn't fearsome, but Tyler Lockett is a deep threat. So he's a guy to take a shot at in a game where the Seahawks should have to chase some points.
So we see it a little differently, because for me, I've got it kind of reversed in my mind, and maybe it's a reason for me to stay away. But I would have Mike Davis as a sleeper. Definitely if he goes. I mean, he's had some production in that backup role, and I would fade Lockett. I mean, even though Marcus Peters is over there and he may, if he's still on the team, he may end up, you know, seeing there may be some coverage with Lockett there, and there's an opportunity to be had. But, you know, Seattle's passing game, like you said, not much to write home about. If I'm going anywhere, like kind of off the board play, Mike Davis of 4,300 on DK, you know, he's averaging almost 11 points a game. You can kind of slide him in, maybe if, especially, you know, you're playing on a late slate, in that slate of games. I don't mind Mike Davis, especially if Carson can't go.
Right.
All right. Let's move on to one more 4 o'clock in the East matchup. That is the Dolphins going to Lambeau to take on the Packers. That's a reeling team. 47.5 is the over-under. The Packers, there's some big favorites this week, are 10-point favorites.
Yeah, this is a litmus test. If the Packers don't just wax the Dolphins here, because the Dolphins are not a good team, their offense is just, they can't do anything with Osweiler, even, you know, with, what's his face, at quarterback, Tannehill. They still were just, you know, they're just such a conservative offense. They won't push the pace. Then their defense can do a little bit, but like the Packers at home, this is a game that they should win by double digits. So if they don't, that probably seals the deal for Mike McCarthy, and he's going to be packing his bags at the end of the season.
He probably should anyway. I mean, he's wasting one of the generational talents at the position in Aaron Rodgers. Like,
That's the one thing you could well, maybe not the one thing, but that's one of the major things you could criticize the Green Bay, you know, decision making is they're very slow to react. They give people a lot of time. They gave Dom Capers forever as the defensive coordinator, despite evidence that the game had probably moved on from his scheme.
Right, exactly. Who? So I'm assuming you're finding a Dolphin to fade. Which Dolphin is that?
You know, Osweiler is probably a pretty easy fade. Frank Gore, I don't think you can trust the volume. Kenyon Drake missed a blitz pickup early in the game, and Adam Gase being the, you know, stick-it-to-you coach that he is, proceeded to give old man Gore a whole bunch of touches in a close game when Drake's athleticism probably could have helped your team.
Yeah, don't chase Frank Gore. I got him down as my fade as well. Don't chase Frank Gore at all. For me, I'm locking up Aaron Rodgers. I know it's an easy route to go, but the production is there. He's done it against almost everybody this season. He took the brace off, I know, in the Sunday night affair, so it looks like he has a little bit more mobility back. Like you said, this is like make or break for the Pack. So I like Rodgers to have a field day in this one as my lock. So, and then if I'm finding a sleeper, obviously Aaron Rodgers needs someone to throw to beyond Davante Adams and Jimmy Graham. So it's MVS. It's Marquez Valdes-Scantling as my sleeper.
Geronimo Allison put on the IR.
Yep.
So he
just happened today. So
he's pretty much done for the season.
Yep. Yep. So all the more reason to go MVS.
Yeah, MVS, and big fast target.
Yep.
I mean, you couldn't call him a sleeper, but you know, there's the Xavier Howard or Xavier Howard matchup for Davante Adams on tap here, and that people could get a little cute with that. Davante Adams, you know, I don't think anybody's matchup proof, but he can catch a touchdown against anyone with Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball, especially at home. So I wouldn't overthink it. Davante Adams definitely in play.
I would agree. So let's move to the Sunday night affair, and one that's close to your heart, a nasty NFC East division rivals. These guys have hated each other in time and memoriam. The Cowboys, with their season on the brink, going to Philly to take on the Eagles. The over-under is 43. The Eagles, as I checked, were 6.5-point favorites.
Yep.
Who are you fading out of this do-or-die matchup for these teams?
Yeah, I mean, anybody on the Cowboys could really be a fade. Their passing game is struggling. The Eagles, very good run defense. You know, hard to fade Zeke, though, given that he is their offense, generally speaking. Their offensive line is taking some hits, though. I'd probably still fade Zeke. We saw it happened in Washington on the road for them a couple weeks ago, and he just kind of disappeared in a slow paced game.
Yeah, I was I'm looking through my notes. I had Zeke slash Dak slash Zeke. You know, I was going back and forth. So I think I'm with you, Zeke. You know, people would say, oh, you know, put him in the showdown slate in kind of a slugfest, but I don't know. I don't like this matchup
he's got
at
the
all.
talent to do it. It's just,
it's not a matter of talent with the Cowboys. I think Dak, even though he had a really awful interception on Monday, like really bad interception yesterday,
see,
they have some talent.
I call that a bad play call. I mean, Dak obviously threw it, but you know, it was really the only place he had to go with the ball.
Yeah,
and they double covered, you know, the brand new receiver that the Cowboys paid a first round pick for, like, and he had just, you know, done a little bit on the drive. So, you know, I don't get that play call in the red zone there. Always give yourself outs, you know. Poker players,
oh,
and DFS players,
Jason
know
Garrett,
that.
Oh, Jason Garrett, yeah, he's okay. He it was just bad. The whole thing was bad. Losing to Tennessee at home was bad. For me, my lock is your boy, Carson Wentz. I think Dallas's defense may be a tad bit overrated. I thought they were better than they were. They did not play well at home last night. I know they can get pressure on the quarterback, but Wentz is still very mobile. And now he's got even more weapons. We talked about Golden Tate, obviously Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz. And we haven't heard from Nelson Aguilar in a while either. So
he's dead to you. Golden Tate's in town. He's dead to you in fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of weapons.
I really like Ertz in this one. If Sean Lee is out, I haven't heard any news on that front, but didn't
look. He probably is, right? I mean, it's
you know, Hammy, you got to figure he's out in a couple weeks.
He just never. I mean, Sean Lee plays like six games a year.
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah, he's a Penn Stater, you know. So I got to pull for him to get back. But you know, without them, they do have some young athletic linebackers. But without Sean Lee, they do struggle against tight ends and backs. And I don't think either of these young Cowboy linebackers are picking up Zach Ertz.
Yeah, I would concur with that. So. I don't really have a sleeper in this matchup. I don't know if you had someone as a sleeper.
I threw Amari Cooper's name out there. You know, I think it could have went a lot better given a couple of breaks in his first game. He's definitely going to be a focal point. He's got the talent to, you know, overachieve what he's done so far to date this season. He can overcome a bad quarterback. I think he's that good. And if they're willing to give him the targets and the play calling.
Which it looks like they did a little bit. I mean, what was he, 5-6 catches? He had the touchdown. You know what? But for me, if I really dig and have to find a sleeper out of this game for the listeners, what about Michael Gallup, like, on the other side, right? Like, you know, the focus
the
on the
secondary is nothing to be afraid of at the moment.
Yeah. So I don't mind Michael Gallup if you're trying to fill that last spot in your showdown slate there for Sunday night. So that'll be an interesting game to watch just because, like I said, both teams' season on the line. Basically, you lose this one, it's not looking too good playoff wise. So, and then we come to a game where maybe you want to take your wife out and do something, take your husband out and do something.
I'm giving up the Monday night game for you, hon.
I mean, this is. I don't even know what they were thinking. They probably had Garoppolo on the mind when they were thinking about this matchup and getting
it. I mean, it's
the
same thing with Dallas and New York. Like, people are, you know, complaining about them on the primetime slates, and they've got viewers. They pull viewers.
That's true.
That's all these, you know, that's all the networks care about.
Yeah, well, they should care about the viewing pleasure of the fans, because Giants at 49ers with a 43 over-under and the line of the Niners at 3-point favorites. I think an easy fade in this one is Eli Manning, right? Like, if they could find another quarterback who couldn't get arrested or find a way to practice, they would already have one in there. So no reason to play Eli against the Niners. Who are you locking up?
Let me just say, like, what a dick Eli Manning is. Like, he couldn't just go into the sunset last year. He got benched. Like, you know, he's got zero self-awareness to think he still has it.
Yeah.
obviously you know, he was never a great quarterback, and he's lost any margin that he did have. So, you know, for him to screw this team over, come back this season.
Well, I mean, he's got the rings. He always points to that. He's got the
He's
two
going to be
rings.
probably the worst quarterback in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean that's probably what you're looking at, is that he's going to get in because he had two great playoff runs, and that defines his career.
Right. And people were talking on Twitter, like compare Drew Brees and Eli Manning, and Manning, you know, gets more attention because of the rings, but like just how much better of a quarterback Drew Brees is, you
Right.
know.
It's immeasurable. It's
They're kind of
immeasurable.
like the same guy. Like they're not physically gifted particularly. They kind of have to get it done with ingenuity and hard work, and you know.
Yeah. Fade Eli. Fade him all day
Yeah.
long. I would lock
Probably.
Saquon in this one. Just the production's there. They have to
The
move
only
the
way
ball
that offense
somehow.
can succeed.
Yep. And then my sleeper is Marcus Goodwin for the Niners. I know they have something with Mullins at quarterback now. Kittle had a big game in their last matchup. I kind of like Goodwin to just get off the snide here and potentially do some things on the showdown slate. So there's a lot of other ways you can go. Maybe Evan Ingram, but again, we just talked about Eli and his problem. So
Yeah, I think Kittle's a really nice play again. The Giants, I got no faith in them against tight ends. That defense could start to give up a little bit if things go wrong.
exactly.
And Mullins definitely liked them.
I mean, put a lineup in this one, guys, but go do something nice. Don't bother with a Monday night game. It's really bad. It's really bad
I
football.
would go, you know, like a 5-1 49ers lineup here, just on the fact that I think they're better coached. And you know they're home. You know the Giants. Like you'd probably go Saquon or the Giants kicker, and then
And give the rest
you know
Niners,
then
yep.
like Mullins, Goodwin, Kittle. And obviously there's salary constraints here, but you know maybe a back Breida.
Breida, Mostert, whoever you like there. So, all right, with that, Mike, do you have a fade of the week for our listeners?
Fade of the week. Want it to be something that's, you know, not an obvious one.
Sure.
I'd probably say Matt Ryan. I think he's, you know, it's an ugly spot out there in Cleveland. He's had a great season to date, so just be careful with Matt Ryan.
All right. I'm going to go a little easier, and my fade of the week is Alex Smith. Washington, I don't think is going to be a real good scene for them down in Tampa, so I'm fading Alex Smith. For me, I'm locking up this week Kareem Hunt. Like the production, like his role in the offense. Arizona's bad. We talked about it when we were going through that game. Give me Kareem Hunt all day long. Who are you locking up this week?
Oddly enough, I like your Fitzmagic lock. You know, you can save a couple dollars in salary there, and you know, it's always a little bit risky. He could melt down at any point, but I think the aggression is there to counterbalance it.
Yeah, that's why I had him in the list of locks there. I mean, he's got that. He might bring out the chain in the post game again too for folks. So the Deshaun Jackson starter kit. So sleeper of the week for me, Marquez Valdes-Scantling from Green Bay.
That's a nice one.
I think he's locked and loaded. We talked about the Allison news, him going on IR. So give me MVS. What about you for sleeper of the week?
I'm gonna say Mark Ingram.
Nice. I like that a
I think the
lot.
Bengals are a garbage run defense, and you know, any chance that they can lean on Ingram, they're going to take it.
I would agree. I think that's the game plan to beat Cincinnati this week. So, anything else for our listeners, Mike?
Just, you know, if you're interested in improving your DFS performance, man. Get hooked up with Lineup Logic. You can get us in the Slack chat at any time. So much good stuff going on in there. It's you really need, if you're going to play DFS on a regular basis, you need a tribe. You got to have people to support you. You know, bounce ideas off. Ask, you know, who are you playing? Who do you think the free square is? And you know, we're a community of definitely giving DFS players, and nobody's hogging their picks. They're, you know, they're sneaky plays. It's all out there. We all want to see each other do well. We want to see the Lineup Logic L flying at the top of the leaderboard.
Amen to that, my friend. Yeah, it's a great community. I was so happy and pleased to be a part of bringing you all content and being involved with that community on Slack. It is a lot of fun. It is a tribe, and it's definitely worth your time and investment of just the $10 a month as we started. So
Yeah,
with
it's very
that,
exciting to see you take that next step, Quaffo. You're a guy
yeah.
who's always been involved, and you're hitting it out of the park, man. So keep it up.
Much appreciated. Much appreciated. A little love fest here between the Spartan and the Nittany Lion there at the end of the week. So, for Mike and Jason, who's not joining us this week, I'm Quaffo. Enjoy your week 10. Go ahead and make some money, and we'll see you soon. Take it easy.